You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me, had to clear my throat. When you go and you do as much grass out there, you know, I had a lot of grass to mow. You get a lot of that stuff down inside you. I'm not bothered by pollen. I am a very blessed fellow. Many people are bothered by pollen, but I'm just glad I'm not, because that can be wild. You should see how much pollen is out there. I'm sure it is in your area as well. Well, I'm no longer posting on eurofolkradio.com. Listen to the show today. Laughed quite a few laughs. I was threatened and everything. These people just don't get it. But there will be no rebuttal, because I don't have to defend myself. The Father has defended me already. Very well, by the way. So there will be no rebuttal. I am no longer posting my shows on eurofolkradio.com. And I'm glad. That's all I'm telling you. Okay, so it's been beautiful out there. We've got some rain. We had some sun, some nice, cool, fresh air. And everything's blooming. I tell you, the color green is everywhere. Everywhere. And it's beautiful. It's amazing how those trees, you know, like the ones that are white when they bloom, or they're pink, or they're purple, or the forsythias that are yellow, that are beautiful. It's too bad they couldn't stay that way for the rest of the season, but that's not the way the Father did it. It is beautiful to see, though. It's like right at the beginning, they're just so gorgeous. However, they all turn green, because that's the will of the Father. And then I wouldn't have it any other way. If that's his will, then that's the way it should be. Just because I might like something or want something doesn't mean that's the right way. He knows what he's doing. You know that. You know, it's wonderful. The Father is just so wonderful. It's beautiful to be able to keep your eyes on him and just continue on, because there's nothing to worry about whatsoever. Though you may have a tinge here or there to worry about this or that, but it's, you realize after a period of time that you can count on the Father, that he was doing all these things all along. I was not an orphan, but I might as well have been. And he has taken care of me my whole life. There was a time when I was a child, and I didn't know any better, and the light bulb had gone out in the bathroom. So my mother put a lamp next to the tub. You could see that that might be a very dangerous thing to do, can't you? And me being a child, I didn't know. And I took a bath with the lamp there. And if it had fallen in the water, guess what would have happened to me? See, that was back before the time, I believe, I don't know, but of the GFIs, you know what I mean? So if you in bathrooms now or near water sources, if you have electricity, you have to have a GFI. And I guess it just shuts something off should something like that happen. But my life was saved way back then. And I just thought of it recently. I'd forgotten totally about it. But the Father had saved me way long ago for this time. He rose me from the dead, so to speak. I was a dead man walking like everybody else. And what else can I do but thank him for it? You know what I mean? How can you do anything else than that. You know, we will, I think we will continue in Isaiah today. And I don't have any major things to tell you other than, you know, things are happening. I'm getting there. If you wanted to know about me or whatever. And, you know, a few very small jobs have come in, but, you know, in time, it takes time to grow when you go to a new area and so on and so forth. And it takes time for people to get to know you and trust you. You know what I mean? How do they know what kind of work you do, right? So it takes time. So I'm just taking it as it comes, so to speak. And it's a strange world. You wouldn't, you know, some characters that show up at your door, you're just like, I don't know about this fellow, you know? It's kind of strange. But anyway, I think that we will look into Isaiah and see what we can see. Continuing on, I believe we're in chapter 17. Previously, we were talking about the five-point plan that was the devil had, you know, said, I will be like the Most High, etc., etc. And we saw that just like the wizard behind the curtain, the devil in the Emerald City, his favorite color green, you know what I mean? He played several parts in that. But he was just, when the people saw him, they said, is this the man that didst weaken the nations? Because he was nothing, he was just a feeble type of creature, a man, or whatever it is. Just like the Wizard of Oz. I was discussing that. There's people that are interested in, you know, I was always interested in the Wizard of Oz, too. I think it's an incredible movie, and I have taken notes and studied it and done several shows on it in the past, in case you're interested. But the funny thing I'll mention to you, just so you'll know, is it's about theosophy. It's about the fact, well, it's not a fact, but it's about what they claim. You don't need any outside source other than yourself. You don't need a god. You don't need to go and see a wizard. Everything is in your own backyard. Everything you need is within you. You don't need God. You don't need the Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't need Yeshua. This is what theosophy teaches. So how is that taught in the movie? Well, before we, you know, go into this Isaiah, it's taught that Dorothy was home all along. But at the end, she just went to the wizard so she could go home. But she never needed the wizard to go home. She was already home. Which is interesting, you understand? She's already in her own backyard, you know. She was looking for excitement, and the grass was always greener on the other side. Remember in the beginning of the movie, it was black and white, which represented mundane life on the farm. But when she got into the Emerald City and into her dream, color came into it, and it was exciting, and there were all kinds of strange things. But really, she just wanted to go home. So even from her beginning of the journey where the witch, the good witch, told her she was a witch, she was on her journey to see the wizard, the wise lizard, because he could help her go home. But she didn't need the wizard. Also, the scarecrow. I mentioned this maybe before, maybe you haven't heard this. The scarecrow during the movie was doing all the thinking. But he didn't need the wizard either to give him a certificate saying that he had a brain, acknowledging that he had a brain. He already had the brain. This is what theosophy is teaching you. I would say that the wizard represents the Father in heaven in a sense, even though it's the devil. In other words, he's the god of the land or the nearby city that can help everybody. But you don't need the wizard. He already had a brain, was already doing all the thinking. But he made the journey anyway. It's just like when you go to college and the university, which is now Jewish controlled, acknowledges that you have a brain with a diploma. Otherwise, nobody or no Jewish company would recognize that you were intelligent and had a brain. And of course, you know, you could educate yourself. You already have a brain. You're already doing all kinds of thinking. All you have to do is educate yourself some more. But you think you need to go to a university to get the piece of paper that says you have an education. The lion already had courage, but he needed a badge to tell him he had courage. And that's what the whole supposition is that he didn't need any badge. He already was full of courage. As a matter of fact, the fellow that played him, Dorothy, fell into the pig pen when she was trying to feed the pigs, I believe. And if he hadn't been brave and rescued her, she might have been eaten by the pigs. Also, the Tin Man needed to have a heart from the wizard, but he was the most feeling fellow there was. Well, I guess the lion was very feeling too, wasn't he? They all had a lot of feelings, didn't they? Dancing and singing and all kinds of things. But the Tin Man had so much of a heart that he cried himself. The tears rusted him, so he couldn't move any longer. All he really needed was a little bit of oiling. And that's the message of the movie. But there's so much more in the movie that you would be surprised. You should listen to those shows on The Wizard of Oz that I did. There's so much more to this movie than you would believe. You know, the gold and silver standard and all the different things. The old woman with the big hook nose who, in the town Dorothy lived in, owned tons of land. And she used the governmental agencies, like the Jews used them, against the native people of the land. And she tried to take Dorothy's dog, Toto, away. Toto was her familia. The father's against all that stuff. It's not that he's against you having a dog. It's just that this represented something else in the movie. But this hook-nosed woman was very evil, very unhappy, and very hateful. She had a big hook nose, and she was very much into using governmental agencies to her advantage. It's funny how all the films and all the different things that you, when I research back to these things, they give you a hint that it's the Jews all the time. And maybe you just don't see it, but it's there. And it's there more often than not. Very strange, but very real. So let's look into Isaiah chapter 17. the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith Yahweh of hosts. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. And it shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm. And it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outermost fruitful branches thereof, saith Yahweh, God of Israel. And that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altars, the works of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. You know, that verse, it just makes me think of what I've been saying for a while. That when I talk to you about the Father, I'm not talking about altars, images, groves, or any of these things that religion, that comprise what religions of the world are. I'm talking about a relationship with the Father. I'm not talking about religion. So it's funny that he would say, and he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall he respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. What is happening in the cities, the strong cities of our countries, whether it's in Europe or America, Canada? What is happening to the strong cities? Isn't there desolation in these cities? The signs of desolation are everywhere. Let's look up the word desolation. Just, you know, basically what it means, but we may take a glimpse. A state of complete emptiness or destruction. The stony desolation of the desert, barrenness, bleakness. Now they're not desolate yet, but look what happened to Detroit. It's starting to make somewhat of a comeback, but it was pretty desolate when you could buy properties for a dollar or whatever it was just a while ago. Barrenness, bleakness, starkness, bareness, dismalness, grimness. Wildness, isolation, solitude, solitariness, loneliness, remoteness, the arid, stony desolation of the Gobi Desert. Synonyms: misery, sadness, unhappiness, melancholy, gloom, gloominess, glumness, despondency, sorrow, depression, grief, mournfulness, woe, heavy-heartedness. Do we have these in our cities right now? Wretchedness, dejection, downheartedness, discouragement, devastation, despair, anguish, distress, low spirits. She was racked by a feeling of utter desolation. Very interesting. But not nice. Definitely not nice. So, he says in verse 10, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shall set it with strange slips. In that day thou shalt make thy plant to grow, and in the morning thou shalt make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people, the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Remember the Zeppelin was singing to an ocean? Yeah, the multitude of many people. The nation shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but Yahweh shall rebuke them. And they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind. And like a rolling thing before the whirlwind, and behold, even as eventide trouble. And behold, at eventide trouble. And before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. Who's robbing us and spoiling us today? And what will be their portion? That's kind of interesting, to say the least. We'll go on to chapter 18, and we'll see what we can see. I'm just bringing up a quick song for the break, and just take me a second to do that here, I think. There it is. It's got to be somewhere right here. There it is. Okay. So, let's go on to 18. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto. A nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers upon the earth, see ye when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth the trumpet, hear ye. There will be a sign on the mountains. That's interesting. And when he blows the trumpet, hear it. For so Yahweh said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect, and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains, and the beasts of the earth, and the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. Very interesting language. In that time the present be brought unto Yahweh of hosts, of a people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of Yahweh of hosts, the Mount Zion. Who do you know that's a people that are scattered and peeled and that are terrible from their beginning to now, hitherto, right? Very interesting. Chapter 19. The burden of Egypt. Behold, Yahweh rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Maybe that's what happened to the Sphinx. Very interesting. The burden of Egypt. Behold, Yahweh rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, for they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. Here we are, folks. Here we are. Just talked about familiar spirits. And now, all these people went to seek the wizard, didn't they? And the Egyptians, very interesting. And the Egyptians will I give over to the hand of a cruel lord. And a fierce king shall rule over them, saith Yahweh of hosts. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up. And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither. The paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks, shall wither, be driven away, and be no more. Could this be talking about the Euphrates? The fishers also mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brook shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the waters shall languish. Let's look up the word languish. People like it when we do these word lookups, when I do these word lookups. We're doing them together, really, but languish. Of a person or other living thing, lose or lack vitality, grow weak or feeble. Plants may appear to be languishing simply because they are dormant. Synonyms: weaken, grow weak, deteriorate, decline, go into decline, wither, droop, flag, wilt, fade, fail, waste away. The glory of our nations is wasting away. Synonyms: waste away, rot, decay, wither away, molder, be abandoned, be neglected, be forgotten, suffer. Moreover, they that work in fine flax and they that weave networks shall be confounded, and they shall be broken in the purposes thereof. All that make sluices and ponds for fish. You know I have to look up the word sluice. Sluices. It's S-L-U-I-S-E-S. Kind of like juices with S-L in front. So let's look it up. Boom. Sluices. A sliding gate or other device for controlling the flow of water, especially one in a lock gate. An act of rinsing and showering with water. A sluice with cold water. Synonyms: wash, wash down, rinse, swill down, clean, cleanse, flush. Crews sluice down the decks of their ship. So, and they shall be broken in the purposes thereof, all that make sluices and ponds for fish. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The council of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what Yahweh of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan have become fools, are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. Yahweh hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. Heavy woe. Did you hear that? Yahweh hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of Yahweh of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Every one that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself, because of the counsel of Yahweh of hosts, which he hath determined against it. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan, and swear to Yahweh of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to Yahweh in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to Yahweh. And that's exactly what the pyramids could be, or were originally, and then modified. You do realize that the statues and all the things in Egypt were modified to suit the newest king or queen or whatever it might be. So that's an interesting thing. So again, I'm going to read that again. In that day there shall be an altar to Yahweh in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to Yahweh. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto Yahweh because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And Yahweh shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know Yahweh in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto Yahweh and perform it. And Yahweh shall smite Egypt. He shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to Yahweh, and he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. In that day there shall be an highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egypt into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom Yahweh of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. Verse I must say, very interesting. Though I'm not historically, you know, all, you know, up to speed, let's say, with this book, I find some very interesting things being said here. In the year that Tatan came into Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it, at the same time spake Yahweh by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, "Go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot." And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And Yahweh said, "Like as my servant, Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners, the Ethiopian captives, and the..." Listen to this. Let's get this clear. "So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners, the Egyptians' prisoners, and the Ethiopians' captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. And the inhabitant of this isle shall say in that day, 'Behold, such is our expectation, whither we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape?'" These Ethiopian captives, it sounds like they're slaves, right? Chapter 21, "The burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath Yahweh said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth." Could a watchman be an eagle on the pole? And did I declare what I see or saw? No, I'm not murdering the king's English. Did I declare what I was seeing? Was I the eagle watching on the pole, warning that I was seeing what I was seeing and that I was watching? Should I have not declared what I saw? I leave that in your capable hands. "And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed." He listened diligently with much listening. "And he cried, 'A lion, Yahweh, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen.' And he answered and said, 'Babylon is fallen. Hoo, hoo, hoo. There it is again. Remember from chapter 18 of the book of Revelations? And from Fireside Chat 40? I thought it was 41, but it was Fireside Chat 40. Let me read this verse again. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. And all the graven images of her gods hath he broken unto the ground. O my threshing, and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma. He called me out of Seir. You know Mount Seir? You know who that is? The Edomites? He called me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire ye, return, come. The burden upon Arabia. In the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedanim. The inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus hath Yahweh said unto me, within a year, according to the years of an hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished. For Yahweh, God of Israel, hath spoken it. Let me look up Kedar just to see what we might find. Ah, dark-skinned, the second son of Ishmael, to dwell in the tents of Kedar was to be cut off from the worship of the true God. Psalms 120, verse 5. The sons of Kedar became known as the Kedarites. The Kedarites were the main military power of the sons of Ishmael. Okay. Well, we're going to go on to chapter 22, but I think we could take a break and perhaps listen to a song. This is one from my Turning Pages album called Tunnel Vision. Well, welcome back. This is the Saxon's Creed radio show. I'm David James. I'm your host from davidjamesboston.com. I just wanted to remind you that the new show, I will not be doing the one-to-one radio show any longer. I did the last one a few days ago and completed Mr. Edmondson's book, which I'm very pleased about. If you haven't heard the one-to-one radio show that I did to finish it all off, there's three different parts in it. One where I talked about Comparé's Christianity Discriminates near the end of the video. I mean, the show. And at the beginning, I did something else you'll be very pleased to hear. I also did a fireside chat this morning and finished it up around 7 o'clock and got it posted. So you can look for that on BitChute. Now, the new show that I'll be putting out will be a shorter format because I don't think people really like a two-hour format. They can't concentrate for that long, and I understand that. The way I looked at it was you would listen to, it was two shows in one. That's the way I looked at it. But the new show will be called The Rabbit Hole Radio Show with David James. And I'm going to be making the cover this week, and I decided to use one of the songs from my new album, and it's called A Man Without a Face. And I'm going to use it for this show. I think it's nice. I think you'll like it. It's a nice way to ease into the content. And I believe that you'll like the format of this show. We'll see. So, back to Isaiah. We're in chapter 22. The burden of the valley of vision. What aileth thee now? What thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? Thou art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. The slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All thy rulers are fled together. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from far. Therefore said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble and treading down, and the perplexity by Yahweh, Yahweh of hosts, in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying to the mountains. And Elam bare the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. Now, there were the Elamites from Elam. I don't know what the Kir, let me just see if I can look it up quick. The Kir uncovered the shield. Let's just look that up. Yes. And it's a popular French cocktail, but I don't think that's it. Let me put Kir Bible. See what happens there. Come now. Kir is also the name of another place in the Bible to which Tiglath-Pileser carried the Aramean captives after he had taken the city of Damascus. So it's a place. 2 Kings 16:9 and Amos 1 verse 5. It's also the location from which the Arameans are said to have originated from, 9:7. Isaiah 22:6 mentions it along with Elam. Okay, so we basically got it. It's a place. And it shall come to pass that thy choicest valley shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate. And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. Ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many, and ye gathered together the waters of the lower pool. And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall. Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that it fashioned, long ago. And in that day did Yahweh of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Oh, there it is, the Epicurean. A friend of mine was talking about the Epicurean, you know, this is their motto, you know what I mean? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. And there it is. That's verse 13 of chapter 22. And it was revealed in mine ears by Yahweh of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith Yahweh of hosts. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, go get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here? And whom hast thou here? That thou hast hewn thee out a sepulcher here. And he that heweneth him out a sepulcher on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in the rock. Behold, Yahweh will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. Well, I know the Horites would be building their homes in the rocks. And the Edomites had this, a similar type of thing. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of Yahweh's house. And I will drive thee from the state, thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for Yahweh hath spoken it. There's a real lot to ingest in this book, and I can't say I understand it completely, I'll tell you that much. The burden, I don't know anybody that does anyway. The burden of Tyre, how ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in, from the land of Chittim is revealed unto them. Be still, inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And by great waters the seed of Sihor, that's S-I-H-O-R, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of the nations. A mart. I must look it up. Like a market, a mart, I don't know. Come on, laddie, come on. Yeah, that's what it is. A coming together of people to buy and sell, like a market. Same thing. I was right. Can't always be wrong, you know. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over Tarshish, howl, ye inhabitants of the isle. You remember, this is after it says Babylon has fallen, right? Again, it's kind of interesting. I'm not saying this is Babylon, but it's very interesting. It's about merchants. It's about the sea not bringing forth her children. It's very kind of interesting. Pass ye over to Tarshish, howl, ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her far off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? That's a question. Are these traffickers the honorable of the earth? Yahweh of hosts have purposed it, to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. See what I mean? That's funny how it explains it in the next verse. First it questions, are these merchants and are they princes and are they traffickers? Are these traffickers honorable, the honorable of the earth? Well, the Father brings into contempt all the honorable of the earth because I believe they deal in false weights and measures, and the Father is very vehemently against that. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. Yahweh hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Now, that's what's interesting about this, right? This virgin, right? Babylon has fallen. You know, Comparais said that you can put the whole Bible together from the book of Isaiah, and I believe it was the Gospel of John. He might have added one more thing, but he said you could really put it all right back together. And you can see that the book of Revelations, you can see the different connections here. In other words, just another witness of it. See, Babylon has fallen, the merchant city. Babylon has fallen, it said a little while ago, right? And it's talking about this city, this virgin, the oppressed virgin. Who is the oppressed, or says they are the oppressed in our world today? And rise, virgin, rise. You remember from a Fireside Chat 40, where I was talking about Babylon has fallen, but in the city of Jerusalem, they have a plaque saying, rise, virgin, rise. So in verse 12, and he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also thou shalt have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not, till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwelled in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot. You know, that's a very interesting phrase, sing as an harlot. How many people in the music business, like I can think of one that shouldn't, she's a whore, she's an harlot, and her name is Madonna, so to speak. Or you have women in Hollywood, many of them, the actresses, sing as an harlot. That's very interesting. Take a harp, take an harp, it says. Go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten, and make sweet melody. Sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that Yahweh will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face upon the face of the earth. Here we are. This goes right into Revelation 18. The whore that sat on the beast got all the leaders and all the kingdoms of the world to be drunk with her wine of fornication. Again, fornication being idolatry, fornication being sexual sin, fornication meaning race mixing. Are all the kingdoms of the world race mixing at this point? Are all the kingdoms of the world drunk with this whore, her wine? Are they drunken with the wine of this whore, as it says in the book of Revelations? And are they full of idols, statues, and all kinds of things? And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness unto Yahweh. It shall not be treasured nor laid up. And her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before Yahweh, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. This whore that's riding the beast. My, my, my. Behold, Yahweh maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for Yahweh hath spoken this word. Many of the small towns of America have been emptied because we are not multiplying any longer. The world has been turned upside down yet again. The disciples had turned it upside down first, Yeshua and the disciples. But now it has been turned upside down yet again, back to the other way. But the land is not empty yet. It's spoiled, though. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for Yahweh hath spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. My goodness, it's true. The animals are almost gone off the face of the earth. the former glorious things of our culture and society have faded? And the haughty people of the earth, which are now the 1% or the, they're really more like 50%, but they claim they're 1% or 2%. They do languish for sure. The earth is also defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell in therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now that's right from a third of the earth will be burnt, right? Very interesting. The new wine mourneth, and the vine languisheth. All the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. This is all from Revelation, talking about how there'll be no more music. There'll be no more of this Epicurean eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It's more, they're miserable. I know I sigh all the time. I don't know about you, but I'm still merry-hearted, but I still sigh at this filthy, dirty earth that's been destroyed. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. I'm just, you know, I'm not saying that this is about the times that I'm talking, but I will say that there are houses all over the cities of America that have been shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of Yahweh. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify Yahweh in the fires, even the name of Yahweh, of God of Israel, in the isles of the sea. For the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs from the uttermost part, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. Very, very interesting. Fear is media-driven. And the blind shall lead the blind into the pit. And the snares are upon thee in this world, upon all of us. The snare of democracy, the snare of the money system, the snare of disobedience, rebelliousness. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Where have we heard this? You see, Mr. Comparé knew what he was talking about, didn't he? And it shall come to pass on that day that Yahweh shall punish the host of high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. I should read 20. I only read the first part of it. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. So I'll read again. And it came to pass in that day that Yahweh shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Mr. T-Rump. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days they shall be visited. Listen, you've heard this. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when Yahweh of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. Wonderful wordage. Love the King James Bible. People ask me, what Bible should I? Well, I say the King James. It's the one I've always done. And the Father was able to speak to me through it, and he's speaking to us right now through it. I mean, I just love the language of it. It is very educational, too. In other words, if everything was spelled out for you and so easy, like the, you know, there's a version of the Bible that is just total plain English, like, you know, it leaves nothing to the imagination. The old verbiage means something, and it has mistakes. So what? You have to be able to read between the lines. O Yahweh, thou art my God. This is chapter 25. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. Oh, but we shouldn't use the name. That's witchcraft. Yeah, sure it is. It would be witchcraft to change the name to Lord and God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. That's because the Father, no matter if his counsels of old or his counsels today, would be the same exact thing. He doesn't change, even though the Pope said he does. The poop. For thou hast made a city of an heap, of a defensed city a ruin. A palace of strangers shall be, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Could that be speaking about it, this land over there? It is cursed until Christ returns. Jerusalem and that land over there is cursed. Could he be speaking about this right now? For thou hast made of a city an heap. Remember, there would be no stone upon any other stone. Of a defense city, a ruin. A palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. You see, in other words, it will not be a nation. I think that's what it's really saying here. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The cities of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. Well, that's certainly not Israel. That's for sure. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as in the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Who are these terrible ones? The branch, you know, always represents, or the tree represents a people. Now, right now, America used to be a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. But America is now part of those terrible ones and captive to those terrible ones who are using it and abusing it. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place. Very interesting way of putting it. Even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall Yahweh of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, a fat things of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Let's read that again. That's very interesting. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. Covering cast, very interesting. And the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and Yahweh God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all, off all the earth. For Yahweh hath spoken it. Who has swallowed up death in victory? Who will wipe all the tears away from all faces? Who will remove the veil that is spread over all nations? I think you know who that is. And it says in verse 9, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Christ, or this is Yahweh in the flesh. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of Yahweh rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, laying low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Not one stone shall be on the other. So when you see these Jews with this wailing wall, you know it's a psyop, right? For that would call Yahweh a liar. And that's exactly what they're doing. Calling Jesus a liar, if you want to use the name Jesus. Je suis. I am. He said there wouldn't be one stone left on another. The Jews say, oh no, that's part of the temple wall. Who do you believe? I know who I believe. I'm just curious. I know who you probably believe too, but there are those I'm questioning, not you. Let's see if we can get through this one. We don't have much time. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What a verse right there. Listen again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What have I been telling you about me? That no matter what storm is going on, I'm standing on the rock and I'm keeping my attention on him. I'm not going to let them change my course. I'm going to continue in what the Father has given me to do. So thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So if you're blowing with the wind, or you're going to and fro like clouds without water, or the foam of the sea, all you have to do to have perfect peace is keep your mind on Him and trust in Him. That's what it's telling me. That's what the Word is telling me. That's scriptural, right? Trust ye in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh is everlasting strength. For He bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, He layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. He weighs our path, ladies and gentlemen. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Yahweh, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. How would we remember him without his name? The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul I have desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me. Wow, this is amazing. Amazing. Praise you, Father. Praise you, praise you. Thank you so much. Because I can attest my soul has desired the Father in the night and the day. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be shewed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. See? Wow, that's amazing. Even when favor has been shown to the wicked, they will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of Yahweh. You see? We're in the land of uprightness here, but they're not dealing justly. They're dealing unjustly. And he will deal with them unjustly. They are dealing with us unjustly, And he will not behold, they will not behold the majesty of the Father. They want him out of the country. They want his name to be nixed from the scriptures. They want to nix the scriptures. They want to nix us. They want to get rid of everything and destroy the universe. See, we show favor to the wicked and we help them, and they do not return it to us justly. They deal unjustly. That's what it's saying. They don't learn the righteousness. They just keep doing and dealing unjustly. And they do not behold the majesty of the Father. I couldn't finish this because it was just, that one stopped me. But we'll just start again in chapter 26 of Isaiah. And I'm very thankful to the Father for all that he does, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. Keep your eyes on him. Keep his word to the best of your ability. And don't let the storm shake you. For these things come and they go, they pass. But we shall not pass, and neither shall his word. So, another show, another day. I hope that this message bears fruit in your life. And may Yahweh bless you. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.